All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And this is still EAA Radio.
And Hot Start.
And we are joined by Mr. Alexander Rossi, who goes straight and then turns left really fast. But then he turns right every now and then just to mess with us.
Formula One.
Formula One.
Road courses.
That's like the F-18 of car racing, I understand.
Oh, yeah. What is it like to drive one of those things?
Driving a Formula One car is unlike anything else, as you would expect, being the best car in all of motorsports. And it's the one thing that stood out to me the most was how smooth the car felt, no matter what type of circuit you were on. And it was almost as though you were driving on glass. And it just inspires so much confidence in the driver to be able to push it to a limit that normally wouldn't make a lot of sense to the average person.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
I've watched many Formula One races, and as a part-time racer myself, I race go-karts. I look at this thing and I say, oh my God, there's no way I could ever handle a machine like that. Is it really like taming a wild beast, or is it actually pretty easy to drive?
Well, to be honest, when you first get into the car after you've been out of it for 2 or 3 months over the holiday break or such, and you've had time out of the race car, and you get back in it for the first time, I have the exact same reaction. It's like, there's no way that's possible. But then, believe it or not, your mind and body actually has the ability to adapt to the speed. And once you're actually in the car and you start just doing more laps, it becomes easier. And I think that's kind of what, you know, all the feeder series are for, and you start out in karts, but each step of the way has a purpose, so that when you do actually get to the car, you're prepared for it. I don't think anyone would really be able to do it if they came from nothing and just jumped in. So it's just like anything, there's the appropriate steps you need to take.
Well, if you've got a spare car around, I'd like to prove that theory.
Yeah, right. I got to drive a Formula Super V once many years ago, and the difference between driving a car like that and a regular car that you're going to find in a parking lot just it actually scared me. The first thing I noticed was I had driven the track previously in the day in a truck, and all of a sudden I'm in the car, everything's blind. You can't see over the slightest hump in the road, so you really have to know the track.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, any type of formula car is going to be better than your standard road car. And I think that the concepts you learn in even the most basic formula cars are the same concepts you take to F1. Because at the end of the day, they're all the same. It's just in F1 you have more grip and you have more power, and it's designed to do more things. But in any of the, you know, Formula Fords or the Formula Super Vs and such, it's still going to outperform any car because of how light it is, and obviously it being a single seater, and it has some form of downforce, and it's amazing what these cars are capable of at any level, really.
Well, let's talk about that. What's an F1 weigh? 2,500 pounds?
No, not even close. I mean, with driver and fuel, it's about 600 kilos, 620 kilos.
Okay, here we go. Kilos.
So you're looking at 1,300 pounds.
Wow. And what, 800 horsepower?
That's what they say. But obviously, there's none of the teams are going to release the full numbers of their engine output.
Well, the exact numbers. So, yeah. I mean, they're
especially when they're twiddling the boost on the straightaway.
I'll bet you they're over 900 easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing is a rocket ship. Do you ever sit in the car when you're out there on the track and you get a straight section and you just say, wow, this is cool?
You know, the first time I got into the F1 car, when I was 17 years old, and it was in the south of Spain, and like I did the outlap or the installation lap, where it was just, you're on travel tires and it was just out of pit lane and back in. And for that 2.5 minutes, there was a massive sense of wonderment, I think, because it was just like to be in a Formula One car and to actually get the opportunity to drive this, and it's something I've been working for since I was 10 years old. That was a point in my time where I was just, it kind of everything stood still. And that was, that lap was something I'll never forget.
And how many people were in the pits were just like, oh no, oh God.
Probably all of them.
Yeah. A 17-year-old, we're going to let him drive this? What, are we nuts?
Pretty much, yeah.
It worked out okay, though. How comfortable is the car to drive?
It's not like power steering and air conditioning, but you know.
Well, actually, there's power steering in the F1 car.
Really? What, electric boost?
No, it's hydraulic. But, you know, the car, it's the seat's made to you. It's quite physical in the terms of the G loading that you have. And what a lot of people don't realize is the braking. You're pulling up to 6 longitudinal G's under braking.
Wow.
And there's no power brakes. So there's power steering, but there's not power brakes. And basically the brake pedal doesn't move. It's almost like a pressure plate. And to stop the car, you need 200 bar of peak pressure, which equates to nearly 4,000 PSI. So the strength required in your leg
is quite a bit.
And then your neck, obviously, and then kind of just core stability and cardio-wise to deal with the G-loading for an hour and a half.
So that always debunks the thing that they say, race drivers aren't athletes.
Yeah. I know after 30 laps in my go-kart, I'm ready for a vacation. These cars are very technologically advanced. There is a lot of electronics on board these cars.
Yeah, they have a little button that says start.
Yeah, how is
that's all.
You guys have just partnered up with Rockwell Collins, and how does Rockwell Collins figure into the big picture electronics?
Well, they're saying aviation technology into the car. I was figuring that just meant jet engines.
Right.
A couple of M's, yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're limited to 2.4 liter V8, so that'd be a bit tricky. But, you know, Formula One is like you said, it's very technology-based, and it is by far the most technically advanced sport in the world. And, you know, all the teams are so close, and, you know, a lot of the knowledge between teams is fairly similar. And you know, the basic concepts of downforce and making a car go fast are more or less the same. Obviously, some teams have adaptations of that give them an advantage on a certain year. But because the margin is so small and there's any little advantage you can have is going to make a difference in lap time on track, having the partnership with Rockwell Collins and being able to kind of have a different approach and coming from the aviation side and kind of being able to give Caterham F1, you know, a bit of, you know, ideas, if you will, that maybe other teams don't have access to is going to make a big difference.
So are we talking instrumentation or are we talking data analysis or all the above?
Well, to be quite honest, the electronics in Formula 1 are fixed and they're made by McLaren Systems. I think the partnership with Rockwell Collins can come on a different side of things that hasn't quite yet been determined, because Formula 1 is very specific in terms of the regulations and what you can actually do. There is a small window of actually what you can change. So what the specific role will be is a bit unknown, but the fact that the partnership is there is going to lead to good things in the future.
Very good. So right now they're at the wow, cool phase. They just look at, hey, wow, this is really cool. They get to get out of their desks or cubes, come out to the track.
Yeah, I mean, I think Formula One is something that once you can't really get a good appreciation for it until you experience it. And the Formula One paddock is something special. And to actually see the car in person, the TV doesn't do it justice. Just like when you're watching an airplane, obviously here, you know, when you see it on YouTube or whatever, it's not going to do it nearly as much justice. And you're not going to get the wow factor. Whereas in F1, and when you're being there and you're actually a part of the team and you're seeing that and you see the 3-second pit stops, it gives you a whole new appreciation and understanding for what the sport is.
3-second pit stops?
Well, remember, they got the air jacks built in. Yeah.
Well, there is no air jacks, actually, in F1. That's
really?
That's an IndyCar. It's hand, front, and rear.
And quick jacks.
Yeah, to change 4 tires, you're looking at, I mean, a 3 seconds, 2.6 to 3.2 seconds.
We're talking 6 men over the wall?
No, you have 3, 12, 14, 16.
Okay. That's, boy, everybody's got to get out of the way in a hurry.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of people to get in.
You don't even get a chance to sip the little water cup there in 3 seconds.
I mean, what you do have in F1 is you have a built-in drink system, basically. But the problem with it is, even though they pack it with dry ice, by about lap 9, it's hot. So
yeah.
It's like, it's kind of pointless, to be honest.
It is kind of pointless. And then they always run out of Coke after the first lap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, here you are. You're 20 years old, and you're driving a Formula One car. Where do you envision you being at 25?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm the test driver for KTM F1, so I'm not in a race seat quite yet. So the goal is to be in a race seat either next year at the soonest and 2014 at the latest. And then, you know, I hope to, you know, be a full-time race driver, start an established career in F1, and hopefully one day, you know, it'd be challenging as an American for a world championship.
I was going to say, please do not say you want to go to NASCAR already.
Yeah, right.
No, that definitely hasn't crossed my mind.
That'd be a letdown. But it's got to be, you're in a unique position where when something that you've tested is going out on a track, the drivers are going to come to you and say, what can you tell me about this, that, or the other thing?
Yeah, that's very true. And because testing is so limited in F1 now due to budgetary restrictions, there's not a lot of time you get on track. So anything that's new or developmental, you kind of have to make sure is right from the get-go. And, you know, that's kind of my responsibility, and I can't really lead the team down the wrong direction, because if it's not right, then they're going to go into a race weekend expecting that it is. And, you know, that responsibility is going to lie on me. So we have to obviously be very careful about
what that's
we're
a
doing.
Big responsibility.
It is.
What's an F1 car worth? It's got to be over $1 million.
Well, that's a difficult question, because what the car actually is worth in parts is not what it actually costs.
Right.
I mean, if you dismantled it and sold parts and brakes and carbon pieces, it'd probably be just over $1 million. But when you think of the budgets that the teams have that are approaching nearly $200 million a year, it kind of puts it into perspective.
I'm put into perspective.
I'll tell you what, I hope Rockwell Collins writes you guys a big check. I think you're going to need it.
I still like the jet engine idea, though, really.
Well, they did it at Indy for 2 years, and it almost worked.
It brings a new meaning to the phrase, you know, burning up the competition.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well,
literally.
With the problem with a jet engine in Formula One would be drafting. The car behind you would melt.
That's fine.
That's not a problem.
He won't pass.
As long as you're in front, it's all good.
That's right. Who cares?
Well, that's where you want to be in racing. Last I understood, you want to be out front.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, I got another question. You going to get an aerobatic ride while you're here? Get G's in the third axis?
Yeah. I actually, in my contract, I can't do anything like that. So as much as I would love to, I won't be doing that this week.
Okay. Well, where can we find you guys on the field?
Excuse me. Like,
hi.
Well, yeah.
Hi. Okay.
Where, you're doing,
Josh.
You're doing autographs.
I haven't been introduced yet. I don't know.
Well, in the Rockwell.
I'll be at the Rockwell Collins booth, and we have an F1 car there, and I will be standing in this lovely weather that's nice and cool.
Yep.
Smiling and talking to people
and
signing cards.
That starched uniform.
Here's the question I have. If I come on over there, any chance I can sit in this thing?
I don't think so.
You know what? Because they know you're going to reset the radio.
You know,
okay? They hate that.
I'm going to go home and cry now.
Thank you.
All
right. Well, thank you for joining us. All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.